All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we have the team from TeamsFest who are hosting an event on Wednesday, October the 7th this year. The website for registration is euroteamsug.com/eventhub, and I'll also include that in the blog post on our website. So welcome, guys. Really appreciate you coming on with us today. So maybe, I guess, to start us off, Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and then pass it on.
Yeah, hi. My name is Adam Deltinger. I'm a guy from Sweden, a senior consultant working at a company called ITEA. I've known these guys for a while now, and we decided to get together and create this kind of event called TeamsFest together, and by the community for the community, basically. So that's some quick facts about me. So okay. Chris, wanted to tell a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Chris Hoard. I'm a partner education lead for Fusion in the UK. I have been involved in Microsoft 365 and Teams for quite a while now. As Adam was saying, I met these guys through the community, through the tech community, and we have gone on over the last couple of years and established a user group, and as part of that user group came to want to run an event all about Microsoft Teams, and that's where TeamsFest came from. So really happy to be on the podcast today. Vesku?
Hello, my name is Vesku Nupponen and I am from Finland, so we represent the Nordic countries here on the back row with Adam in together mode. I'm a modern work principal consultant working for Sulava, so I've been very passionate about Teams since it came out. And we all three are Microsoft MVPs as well, so it's a really fun group to be with this year Teams. UG and TeamsFest. All right, that was a really short one. I tend to talk longer, but I'm too nervous for that right now.
That's good. It's all good. Thank you for joining the podcast today. We really appreciate it. So you kind of touched on it a little bit, but maybe just talk a little bit about what TeamsFest is, what the history of TeamsFest is, like how it came to be born. And maybe lastly, the breakout of the content, like how you're going to break all the content out for TeamsFest. I'll let you guys take it.
I'm happy to kind of start with that question because, TeamsFest really came from our own experiences of going to conferences, of going to Microsoft Ignite, of wanting to be able to run an event ourselves on our terms. And one of the big things about TeamsFest is that it was all about 100% community, to the point that we wanted to kind of deviate the way of things like corporate sponsors and have it this kind of almost this dialogue directly with all of the attendees and the people coming along to the conference. That's because talking to people at organized conferences, they often have to be answerable to their corporate sponsor. They have to get a minimum number of people, and sometimes it gets in the way of the content and the sharing of content with people who come to these conferences. So for us, it is a conference for the people to take all of this knowledge that we as IT pros have and give it to people who want to learn more and to share it democratically. That's a big thing. We also wanted to do it virtually so that people, I guess, who couldn't afford to be able to go to an event in person or didn't have access to these high quality IT, very knowledgeable professionals. So both from a democracy perspective and also from the perspective of bringing it to the people, giving everyone the access that they need, and also as well to do that without cost as well. Sometimes these things can be terribly expensive. Again, going back to the idea of Microsoft Ignite or Inspire, it cost them thousands of pounds to thousands of dollars to get to an event like that. So putting all and considering all these things together, that's the kind of conference that we wanted to come out with. And I'm sure Adam can, or Vescu can go a little bit more into the tracks.
Yeah, of course. And one important thing also is, and that also kind of was grown from our like user group, your teams, UG, was that we wanted to give, and especially with TeamSwiss, I mean, if you look at the bigger events like Microsoft Ignite, for example, it's a lot about, you know, you're supposed to be a Microsoft MVP, you're supposed to be like this expert within your, you know, kind of area. We wanted to make it possible for like everyday people that are passionate about, in this case, Microsoft Teams, to be able to, talk about it. Talk about something you're passionate about within the Microsoft Teams area. Something you learned along the way, or whatever. Not as an experienced speaker, just about, you know, it's like a kind of like a start off for something to learn to speak in a public space and just talk about something you're passionate about. Not being an MVP or some, you know, something, you know, you're known, you're used to do speakings and such. We wanted to give that opportunity. That was very important when we started the user group and also like the purpose of the Teams Fest as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's lots of, I guess, speakers who are not so far along in their speaker kind of career where they start off speaking at user groups. We wanted to give them a platform that mirrored our own experience. I mean, I started off doing community work maybe 2 years ago at this point. You get barred from a lot of conferences because you haven't got the history or the experience, and it can be very disheartening. We wanted to give people the opportunity to speak and build up their experience and help them on their journey, as it were, to get to places like Ignite, if we can give them a hand up. And several people that we've had in the user group and have come to Teams Fest have gone on to then go on and be an MVP over the course of the last year. And it's something that, and they've come back to us after that and said, you know what, this gave me the confidence to go on, apply to more places. And now I'm speaking at Ignite, or now I'm speaking at ESPC or other conferences. That's something that I think is the most satisfying thing of all.
That's fantastic. I really, really like that model and what you're trying to achieve. In terms of comparing Teams Fest to a traditional conference, a lot of traditional conferences have like a keynote speaker or several keynotes based on different tracks. What's the model of Teams Fest? Do you have keynotes? And if you do, who's delivering the keynote?
We do have the keynotes, of course. We really like the idea of the keynotes because it kicks the event up. It has to have something to begin with. And we are the ones doing the keynote, but we also have Jeff Tepper this year during the keynote, which is awesome, of course. So we are basically setting the stage for him and let him kind of do his magic in there, because we all know him, and so he's important. But we have also kind of ending keynotes, and that's of course important because we are in the European time zone, and most of these other keynote speakers coming from US, it's kind of we have to put them to the end more or less, or at least from our perspective into late afternoon. So we have Karuana Katimu in there doing one of the closing ones. We have Lori Botmeyer and Mark Cashman as well. And we have the Finnish bride, Vesa Juvonen as well, from Microsoft in there. So he's a really good community guy. And he's been running that PNP community for years. And he's known for that. So he fits in very nicely. Vesa Juvonen was with us in the spring edition as well as Caruana and Lori Botmeyer. So we have kind of recurring Microsoft speakers there already, which is great. And then we have the Ilya Puk. Okay, I'm not going to pronounce his name. I know Finnish names are difficult, but but going through with some of these names, check out the site. I think you can find them there. Unless Chris wants to start saying the names.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. And just roughly, how many sessions are we talking about with Teams Fest? Like 10, 50? How many?
A few more. 85.
So
the keynote 85. Speakers. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go for 85 sessions in a single day, and they're going to be subdivided down into eight tracks. Those eight tracks is a respective learning path. So we have a track on adoption, we've got a track on meetings and calling, and we've got one on the power platform. It's to try and have something for everyone, but also if somebody's got a specific area that they want to learn more in, they can go almost in the same room all day and listen to the speakers come in. So in terms of the kind of the speakers that we ended up going with, I think if you do look at the event hub, there's a really broad spectrum of speakers that are coming in. We wanted to try and make it as inclusive as possible to have representatives from all over the world. I know it's called Teams Fest and it is European based, but it's been really important for us because this is our third Teams Fest. The first one, I think, had about 30 speakers, the second one 50, and now this one has around about 95 speakers in 85 sessions. And bringing in the diversity of speakers is really kind of, I guess, evolved as we've got to know more and more people in the community. But we like the format of the single day, so we went to have more than less sessions in a single day. So we'll be trying to run 85 sessions in a day is going to be it's going to be tough, but we've got the experience. We're quite confident that we can pull it off successfully.
We don't have lunch hours, so we don't have that. Right. But that's the beauty of the online conference. The sessions last for roughly 40 minutes. They go leave at 5, and then there's a short break between each session, so people can go on and take some breaks, and so they don't have to go through these back to back. And that's kind of one of the things that gives some breathing space. We are going to record everything, so there's going to be, of course, people are thinking about, I can't attend 8 sessions at the same time because there's 8 rooms going on all the time for almost 12 hours. Yeah, we have stretched this day a bit. It's a long day, and most likely it's going to be exhausting, of course, but I think it's going to be fun as well.
For sure.
I think that's a perfect lead-in. So how is TeamFest being delivered? We talked about event hubs is probably managing the scheduling. Is this being, you know, live events versus online meetings? Is it something else? We talked about rooms. So can you maybe talk about how as an attendee, am I going to consume these tracks and jump between them?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to make it as simple as possible. And, you know, especially for speakers who are doing live events, logging into different tenants and stuff like that, it can be a hassle. And we, the prior Teams Fest we had, the prior two, we run with normal Microsoft Teams meetings. And we found that it worked out very well, actually. We were kind of moderators ourselves. We didn't have dedicated moderators, but it still worked out. People were behaving, they helped out. Everything worked out much better than we actually expected it to be. And now the limit for Teams meetings have opted out a little bit. We think like for all the normal sessions, the 80 sessions, we will do normal Teams meetings. And we have this time around, though, we have dedicated moderators to help us out with, you know, answering questions, make sure everyone's muted, that's supposed to be muted and stuff like that. So that's the difference. But it's normal Teams meetings. For the keynotes, we are still delivering a little bit, but we're thinking about doing live events for those.
Yeah, just to build on the point that Adam was saying, we're all speakers ourselves, and of course we go through the speaker onboarding process at conferences, and people give us like different tenants to jump into with different sets of passwords, you know, different identities that we then have to use. And sometimes it's not always the most frictionless way to be able to join a conference. And we try to put ourselves again in our own experience of going to conferences and being enthusiasts, and how easy is it for us to be able to join and be able to participate given our kind of busy days and schedules. And we know that the technology is advancing with NDI, for example, and a lot of, I would say, user groups and conferences are beginning to do these things. We're starting to see it out, and I can totally understand the really slick presentation. But for us, it kind of goes back to that original choice of wanting to be with people. And I think it was Vescu who said to me once, he said, I want this to be like the Woodstock of IT events, and where people can turn up, they can get involved, they can speak to the speaker after they've had their session. We are again thinking about having a virtual bar in there as well. I think this is something we are going to do, but I think in these times, you know, particularly with COVID, there is this want to be able to see, to speak, to engage with people. And as Adam said, from our prior experience, it's worked out very well. People always say, oh, somebody's going to come in unmuted, and we've done two conferences and that's never really happened. And if they did introduce the hard muting functionality in Teams, then that's going to make that even easier. So I think that we'll be going with a standard meeting and getting people to try and engage and have a rapport with us as much as possible.
Yeah, the only thing we haven't decided yet is the keynote. The actual keynote is that, are we going with the NDI or are we going with the live event? But as we saw before starting to record this podcast, that NDI still may have a few issues. So we may have to reconsider that. Yeah, Chris is talking about virtual bar, but I was thinking about virtual sauna.
I was just about to say that.
But the virtual sauna, we didn't know whether naming that would make it, that would be permitted or seen in a
good, understandable.
People might get the wrong interpretation of that. Yeah.
And so all the sessions are going to be recorded. How are you going to provide those recordings, like on demand? Do you have to be registered to access them? Is it going to be a portal to consume that content after?
We have a YouTube channel where we post all of your Teams UG meetings and also all prior TeamFest sessions as well. I mean, it's right there. It's public. It's on YouTube. I think you know the short link also, Vescu, but it's going to be there for everyone to, you know, absorb.
We'll make sure to include the YouTube channel in the blog post.
Awesome. Yeah, that'll be awesome. We get a lot of, again, it's all about kind of making the information free and accessible for people. We considered Stream, but of course, because of the external access and sharing, that kind of prohibits that route. So YouTube seems to be the best way at the current time. But after Ignite, who knows?
Yeah, and of course, when we are talking about making things simple, making things easy, that's the one reason we are doing it with Microsoft meetings, because Teams meetings, because it's the most simplest way to deliver the content and deliver the sessions and presentations. It's a very teams or teamwork way as well, because we are a community and doing that. But of course, also with that same theme, what we have is that our registration is actually just trying to help out people. We don't require people to be registered and signed in to attend TeamFest. What they will get is basically an ICS file that they can put to their calendar, and they have short links for all the rooms there. So they can access everything they want really easily and painlessly, easy as possible.
Just to clarify, we have 8 tracks. We have 85 sessions, but still it's divided in 8 tracks. And each track is basically a meeting with one link, basically, which is all posted on our event hub and on our website. So if you want to follow one track for the whole day, you can just click one link and just go with it for 12 hours. If you want to jump around the different rooms, it's very clear, like there's a link for every kind of track. So we try to make it as easy as possible for people.
Yeah, they're all decisions we had to make in terms of balancing complexity, as it were, with trying to make something really extremely simple. We just want to go with the frictionless and deliver the content as easy as possible for people that want to watch it. We did kind of have discussions over the last kind of couple of months about how complex we make it. You know, we were willing to go on it, but trying to put ourselves in the position of the attendees, because there have been conferences that have had really innovative and good things, such as virtual meeting places. I went to a conference that had a virtual meeting place and it was superb, but in consideration about how busy we are, or do people, you know, what are they ultimately coming here to see? What's the experience they want to have? Most people want to be able to have access to the sessions and the speakers. That's what they're kind of there for. So I guess you could say we took quite a minimalist approach to it, but one that tends to give a lot of return for not making things too complex, I guess.
That's great. So, I mean, you already touched a little bit about, you know, sort of how this sets apart from different conferences. And given, you know, I think Ignite is, I think, 2 weeks before your event. Did you guys specifically target your date for October 7, you know, to be, you know, after Ignite? And then is there a concern of, from a speaker perspective, or getting requests to change the content and delivery for the sessions, because some things may change based on what their, you know, sessions are?
Yeah, of course. We had that situation already with Dataflex. So we had a couple of sessions that were released on Dataflex, and I think it was as soon as a couple of days after we accepted them, you know, the name was rescinded and then went to Project Oakdale, for example. And I'm pretty sure that there are going to be several things within Ignite that is going to kind of make minor changes to sessions. I would expect so. In terms of what kind of the date that we chose, we generally run it now biannually. And I think it's fair to say we're gluttons for punishment, because the last one was on April the 1st, which was like a week after the MVP summit. So, and there's a lot of conferences, you know, at the moment already. But I wouldn't say that, you know, we have any expectations on speakers to have to kind of modify or based upon developments at Teams Fest, because we'll be having another one, as it were, sometime at the beginning of next year.
Yeah, and originally the Teams Fest came out a year ago, and it was going by the name Oktoberfest for a very long time, and it changed to Teams Fest in last minutes. So it was so that's why October was more or less locked in anyway, and we tried to kind of get some space between Ignite and this one, so because we know that the people will be really tired after spending a few days at Ignite sessions and looking through all the recordings, so a couple of weeks there may help in that as well. And I agree with Chris, as for the content, I don't think there's going to be huge changes, because I don't know how much features are going to be rolling out during those 2 weeks, and as well as kind of if there's some changes, then hopefully they're just minor, and we as speakers, we all can live with small changes like that usually.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't suspect there will be, you may, I mean, there are, many announcements on Ignite that will be like making those session not applicable at all or something like that, or if it's small stuff, I suspect, as Chris said, I mean, the speakers will just adjust some things in their, you know, in their session.
That's an important point that Adam gives. I mean, the speakers this time around, I can't even begin to tell you guys how privileged we are in this this event this time around. I don't know, overreaching is the right word, but I really tried my luck with a lot of people to try and get them at speaking at Teams Fest, and it really paid off this time around. I mean, I tried every trick in the book to cajole people or get them to speak for us. And the results of that are amazing. And the caliber of the lineup this time around is unreal. And you just know that these people are going to make those changes anyway. I'm pretty confident that you're going to see they're going to want to put that stuff in their sessions anyway. So, yeah, I don't think it, as Adam said, I don't think it's something we really have to worry about, because they're the kind of people that have just got community on their mind, and they really want to do the best they can.
Well, Chris, it looks like you landed the O365 team to speak at the event. So, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Hey, look, I said I'm the highest quality event, right, guys? So, you know, if there's one group of guys in Canada that we wanted in on this, you know, to represent Canada, then there we go.
No, it's great. We appreciate it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, guys, it's just a pleasure for you to be able to speak at the event. I know that we've met at Ignite last year. It's going to be missing it this time around. I think I met you, Habib. I think the evening that I'd literally been off the plane like 2 hours and then strolled down to the bar and we met, you know, like kind of there. No, I mean, just thank you again for like supporting us. I mean, it's just wonderful. That was the big thing for when we decided to pick the speakers that we did. We know that everyone is 100% in on community. The amount they do is unreal.
No, I mean, thank you for allowing us to be on with you guys. I know we have a session there on October 7th. Remember the actual time, 1600 CET or what is it, 3 o'clock BST? What's that, 6 o'clock Eastern? There's so many time zones.
The good thing about the session I cite is that they are now showing the time on your basically on your local time, so
yeah,
it helps a lot,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we'll be having a panel there. And then hopefully maybe if one of you guys are free, we'll have you on with us to discuss, you know, the Teams Fest experience and stuff like that as well. It's been really great having you all on here today. A great discussion. We're definitely looking forward to this event. And for anybody listening in, just hit up our blog post for all the links for the registration and for the YouTube channel as well. And hopefully we'll see you there at Teams Fest as well. So again, thanks guys for joining. I really appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks everyone for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode as well. Thanks.